I told you it would get here. It's Friday. Just like I said it all week long. I said at some point you're going to see it. Friday will just pop up. No one believed me. Here it is.
Friday, Friday. Remember that song that everybody hated?
Yes. Yes.
I could deal with it on a Friday.
You said hated like we don't hate it anymore. Like it
I haven't
was past
heard it.
Tense.
When's the last time you heard it? Just now?
Yeah, a second ago. I heard somebody singing it. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. We'd love to hear from you at any point during the show at 312-981-7200. Share your thoughts and ideas with us.
Nice to see the sunshine, is it not?
Yeah. I think this is 3 days in a row that we've had dryness. There hasn't been any wetness. There hasn't been any snow, any
That's
rain.
That's going
to change. Dryth. They call it dryth.
Dryth.
Yeah.
Is the correct terminology.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Isn't that going to change? Aren't we getting precipitation en route?
Yes. Maybe tonight some freezing rain. I just heard a guy give the weather forecast. And
yeah.
Then some showers tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that guy.
You know what? I'm not his biggest fan either, I got to tell you.
But if you're looking for a silver lining, tomorrow, right here on this radio station, a baseball game shall be played.
Isn't that exciting?
The White Sox will be playing baseball tomorrow against the Dodgers.
Hasn't it been rainy in Arizona as well?
Yeah, they got an inch of rain in Phoenix yesterday. 3 feet of snow in Flagstaff.
Mm. I thought it was a dry heat there.
Mm. I just don't want the game to be rained out. I won't listen to the whole game, but I will tune in and out every once in a while just to say...
Just to hear it.
Look what's... Yeah, just to hear the sounds of baseball. It just warms things up as soon as you hear some baseball.
What does that make you want to do? Because it makes me want to crank it in the backyard and work in the garage. And
oh.
We don't even have a garage.
Oh.
But that's what I want to do.
Strange.
It's like a summer day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm wearing a tank top, a white tank top,
yeah.
Tool belt.
Wow.
That's what I think
it's
of.
Very specific.
Did you say no belt?
Tool belt.
Oh, tool belt. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build a garage
wow.
this summer.
There's going to be posters of you on walls of various car repair places.
What's in your tool belt?
Can you share that with the class?
Power drill.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Couple of standard screwdrivers and some Phillips head.
Yeah.
Some what?
The flat screwdrivers and the Phillips head.
Right. Yep.
I think just Phillips is fine.
It's a Phillips head screwdriver.
Oh, no.
Mr.
Handy. Not the screwdriver fight you guys always have this time of year.
I listened to John Williams talk about who's handier.
Right.
I think it's Phillips head. I think that's
so
acceptable.
You can tell when they're stacked up because they've got little pictures of Prince Philip on the end of it.
Right. That's true. When you and John have this argument, is the argument over which one of you is handier or is not handier?
Is handier.
Is handier.
But it's really pathetic because, well, I win every time.
Really, John doesn't do that much.
No.
I took the wiener dog for a ride in the stroller and got a flat tire in the stroller.
Yeah.
Or
I swept the deck. What'd you do, Steve?
Unfolded the ping pong table.
Yeah.
That's the John Williams part.
But he only plays when he, because he gets to decide when to play, and he only decides to play when he's, you know, done something like change a light bulb.
Oh. So it's a reward system.
Well, I think she's going to win.
Right. Oh, that makes sense. Explain this to me, because I can't figure this out. Yesterday when the show was over, as I often do, we go back to our office, we leave the studio, we go back to our office, and I quickly check my emails just to see if there's anything important that's happened over the last couple of hours since I've been here. Sometimes I keep my emails up during the show, but more normally I don't. I check them when the show's over. So we go into our office. I set up the screen that gets me into the emails. I type in my password, and it tells me my password is invalid, right? So then I go to another screen. There's different, you know, you can get on different ways to get to your email. So I go to a different system to get me on. And in
a different browser?
Yeah, a different browser. On that one, I have my email password saved just
in
case.
So it just loads up?
Yeah, and it tells me it's wrong. So I go, well, I'll go home, and I'll have this fixed. When I went home, the same thing. I couldn't get in there. It kept telling me that my password that I've been using for over a year, almost 2 years, is no longer valid. What happened?
Is this your Tribune password?
No, he doesn't go in his Tribune account.
One.
And I said, when he got an iPhone, I'll help you with this. And just yesterday, we got an email, both of us, to the WGN Radio one. And I said, did you check that? And you're like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I can set it up on your phone.
It's too much for me. The more stuff like that, the more chances of something screwing up.
See, I think you're a bad employee.
I think I'm
a horrible employee.
I think you have a duty to be accessible to the company email.
Well, I like to anyone who needs to access me, I've said to them.
Except the group emails.
But I don't know that.
Oh.
I don't know what your. I probably have your own email, but
Have you been sending him emails to the WGN radio one, Steve?
Yeah, but I just thought they were mostly mean about you, and I thought he was just being nice and not
no,
responding.
No, those are the ones he would respond
to. I want more
to.
Of those. I'll reestablish that account.
How do you find out about, like, all the parties we're having?
I tell them.
Who's being fired and hired?
Wendy, share, if it's something that she thinks
we don't get those.
It's really important. Right. And you know what? Here's the reason. I know this will sound like an awful reason, but I swear to you it's true. When I did late nights here, I made it a point to answer every single email. Every one I got, I said, if somebody takes a moment to write to me, I have to write back. And then I was going to do that when we switched to here, to this time slot, but I was getting like 10 times as many, and I'd fall a little bit behind, then a lot more behind, then more behind, then more behind. And after a while, I was like 1,000 behind after a very short amount of time. So I got too lost in that one. I got can't
Mr. Popular.
Do that one anymore. I'm not saying it to be popular. I
don't get any on that account.
What you're saying is no one sent you emails until you started working with Wendy again?
Yes.
Ouch! Usually you're mean to me, but I like you today.
It's a very uncomfortable position.
I'm saying that.
I don't know what am I doing?
Do you think because I tried to access my company email, it wasn't yesterday though, it was on Wednesday.
I don't know. I'm not involved anymore.
I can't figure it out. And
did
I've tried everything. No, I can't get in. And I used to have a porthole, if you will, on my phone.
Porthole. Yeah. Not a porthole.
No, I had a porthole because I'm also
Seaman.
Are you on a cruise line?
Good God. You just should stop talking.
This is why I don't answer my emails. Because it's nothing but half-baked criticisms.
You port.
You kill me.
I've thought about it. We'll be honest. I've had dreams. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back.
No, please.
And then maybe more. We'll see. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
That's all I got.
That's it? All right, it's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. We're kind of excited. If I said to you, name all 50 states...
Couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it? How many do you think you would get?
I don't know.
Half? More than half?
More than half.
I hope more than half.
You could not get all 50 states?
Probably not. I'd have to write them down. I probably couldn't.
Realistically.
In how much time? Like by the end of the day?
I'll give you 3 weeks to name all 50 states. Steve, how about you? Out of the 50, how many do you think you'd get?
Oh, I'm sure I could name all 50.
All 50.
In how long?
Well, yeah, I would take, I have to look at it.
What's a fair amount of time? 5 minutes? 3 minutes?
I couldn't do it in that
couldn't
time.
Couldn't do it? I think realistically, I'd probably hit 47 or 48.
Which
out of
ones
the 50.
It's kind of weird to say. Which ones wouldn't you think of?
There's a survey out where they ask people exactly that. Name all 50 states. And which state do you think was the one that was most often omitted? I would not have guessed this. Because here's the ones everybody gets right off the bat. You get California immediately. You get Texas right off the bat. You get Hawaii. You get New York.
I'd do Illinois first.
Yeah, your home state, of course, no matter where you are in the country, you're always going to get that one.
You'd think that the tiny ones in New England, but I'm going to say Montana.
Montana, you think, is the one least
I think named? Washington. Washington State.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's a very good one. The correct answer, however, is Missouri. That is the one that most people, and I don't know why that would be.
Cardinal fans.
It's right in the middle of the country. It's hard to miss Missouri. It's right there. Why would that be the one that most people would leave out? That's strange.
Because you associate nothing with it, kind of.
Is that true?
Well,
nothing?
Think of it. What do you associate? I mean, really, because I said Montana.
Yeah.
You think, well, that's the mountains and, you know, all of that.
Isn't it the gateway to the West?
Well, they like to think so.
Isn't that what it says on the arch?
Well, yeah, so the arch is there.
The arch is there. Ted Simmons.
Who's that?
He was a Cardinals catcher a long time ago.
For the Brewers.
Brett Hull. That's about it.
If you, as a kid, memorized the states in alphabetical order, then you would never forget them.
Right. Well, that song.
They have a song.
There's a song that helps.
How does it go?
Like it's like that Havana Una Na song.
It's like the
Alabama,
Johnny Cash. Alabama. Yeah,
that's how it goes. Yeah, isn't it the setting for parts of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn?
Missouri.
Yeah. So that's
Hannibal, Missouri.
Yeah,
home of Mark Twain. I think was from Missouri.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's devoid of anything, but
I'm just surprised that out of all 50, and I thought about this last week because I don't know if you know this, but there was a petition going around. People had the idea of selling Montana, the state of Montana, to Canada because, you know, we're hurt. This country needs more cash flow. And some people thought, well, we don't use Montana for anything. It's just storage. Why don't we
God.
Why don't we give that to Canada in exchange for some cash? And I thought, realistically, if I was Canada, I'd go, thanks for the offer on Montana. But what about, and look at other states.
Like, give us California.
Which state don't we need? Is there a state that we just don't need?
I don't think so.
No, you want all 50, right? It's a nice round number.
Well, we should give Canada something like Arizona or somewhere south that'd be more attractive to them.
But a lot of our retirees, Steve, end up in Arizona.
If it happens, it happens.
I want to hear the state song.
Have you never heard that state song?
Yeah, but I don't remember it. Cheryl thinks she can do it. Cheryl, go.
Hi. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Wyoming.
She did it.
That's
I followed
fantastic.
Along.
Cheryl, if they asked you to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl next year, would you be interested?
Well, yes, sir. But you know what? I learned it in 1965, and you just don't forget it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's so catchy.
Well,
such
that has won
song.
You a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. I am very proud of you.
Thank you. I'm driving, so I couldn't be cheating.
But you have to go to Lou Malnati's in one of the other states, one of the farther away states.
And sing that song.
You must sing the song.
With airfare, sure.
All right, hang on. Congratulations, Cheryl.
Thanks,
did it.
Cheryl.
Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com.
I'm not taking away from Cheryl.
Yes,
please
you
understand
are.
That. But, Steve, isn't there a version of that song that's more melodic? Like, the version we just heard didn't have any kind of...
I was going to say, she proved that she has a great memory but really can't carry a tune.
Bertrand, you have to pay for the Lou Malnati's okay. we're giving her.
The version I heard, though, has more rhyme
right.
to it.
And I think it's not in alphabetical order. Maybe it is, the ones my kids learned. I don't know if it is.
Well, she got everyone.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I followed along, just to be sure.
Isn't there one, though, that has like a clever play, like the it's, I don't know, Alaska, I don't know, Alaska, where they sing something with the
if
state
not,
names?
You should write one.
They throw something in. Yeah,
right?
There's a different song.
That's the one I'm envisioning, although that one was very effective. The one we just heard was highly effective.
She got all 50, guys.
She was 50 for 50.
In less than a minute.
Here are the most forgotten states, Wendy. The first one is Missouri. More people forget that one than any other state when listing the 50. After that, your answers are Connecticut came in second.
Yeah, I would have forgotten that.
Minnesota, third. Massachusetts, fourth. And the number fifth most forgotten state is Nebraska.
Did you say Massachusetts?
Yeah, Massachusetts
wow.
was number four. Missouri, Connecticut, Minnesota, Massachusetts, and Nebraska, the five most forgotten states. What is that?
I'm trying to listen to something in queue. I'm sorry you're listening to that as well. I'm trying to find the official United States song.
We could wake up my son at college, and I'm sure he could sing it for you.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So he learned it in school, obviously.
Yeah, both my kids learned it. And I know what you're saying. Like, there are little turns of a phrase in the middle of it, and...
See, my daughter surprised me with it. We were talking about the states at one point, and she just rattled them off in order, all 50, much like our listener Cheryl did. But she didn't tell me that there was a song that she used. I thought she was just amazing with the memory. I'm like, how did you do that? She goes, we learned it in school. No big deal.
We didn't learn it in school.
No.
I'm really bad at geography, too. And what I loved in elementary school is they had that United States map where all the states were different pieces.
Right.
So,
it's a puzzle?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah, that's what I meant, a puzzle.
Yeah.
And you'd think I could locate where I get lost in the Oregon and the Montana and all that area.
I wonder how many of the people who could name all 50 could also fit them into the puzzle map. Because that's as hard, if not harder. Right? To name them is amazing,
yeah.
But to name them and know exactly where they go, That's even more amazing, especially the New England states. I've been up there 1,000 times. I still get confused on which one goes where.
How many states have you been in visited?
Over 40. When I did stand-up.
Really?
I did stand-up in almost 40 of them. I think 38 or 39.
I've been to 7.
That's it?
Really? 7? I think so, yeah.
Oh, we got to get you on the road, woman.
Steve Bertrand travel, Wendy.
Come on.
Well, he doesn't do domestic.
He's got his
he?
All 50 state special.
All right, hang on. Hi there. Is this Abby? How's it going?
Hi, guys. It's good. I know the song Bill's talking about.
All right.
My
how
kids
does it go?
Learned it in third grade.
Can you do a little bit of it for us?
All
sure.
of it.
All right.
Okay, here we go. All don't right. make fun of me if I don't do
nope,
so well. Okay.
We're going to.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Columbus is the capital of Ohio. There's Montgomery, Alabama, south of Helena, Montana. Then there's Denver, Colorado, under Boise, Idaho. Texas has Austin. Then we go north to Massachusetts, Boston, and Albany, New York, Tallahassee, Florida, and Washington, D.C., Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Nashville, Tennessee. Elvis used to hang out there a lot, you know. Trenton's in New Jersey and Jefferson City, Missouri. You've got Richmond in Virginia. South Dakota has Pierre. Harrisburg's in Pennsylvania. And Augusta's up in Maine. And here's Providence, Rhode Island, next to Dover, Delaware. Concord, New Hampshire, just a quick John to Montpelier, which is up in Vermont. Hartford in Connecticut, so pretty in the fall. And Kansas has Topeka. Minnesota has St. Paul. You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
That's a...
I'm mesmerized.
More. Keep going. Encore, encore.
Okay. Juneau's in Alaska, and there's Lincoln in Nebraska, and it's Raleigh out in North Carolina, and then there's Madison, Wisconsin, and Olympia in Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, and Lansing, Michigan. Here's Honolulu, Hawaii is a joy. Jackson, Mississippi, and Springfield, Illinois.
Whee!
South Carolina with Columbia down the way. Annapolis and Maryland on the Chesapeake Bay. Cheyenne is in Wyoming, and perhaps you make your home in Salt Lake City out in Utah, where the buffalo roam. Atlanta's down in Georgia, then there's Bismarck, North Dakota, and you can live in Frankfort in your old Kentucky home. Salem in Oregon, from there we join Little Rock in Arkansas, Iowa's got Des Moines, Sacramento, California, Oklahoma, and its city. Charleston, West Virginia, and Nevada, Carson City, that's all the capitals there are.
And every time,
wow! Wow.
Every time she finishes, there are 10 kids trying to buy an ice cream cone, right?
Abby, do Canada.
Oh, boy. Saskatchewan.
No.
Okay,
no,
Abby,
no,
we
no,
got to
no,
go.
Don't. Wow.
Moldavia. Do Moldavia.
All right, Abby, hang on. We'll set you up. Great job. We'll set you up with the Lou Malnati's as well.
Now, can I say that's still not the song I was thinking?
Yeah,
no,
I know.
There's another one.
Because this had the capitals. You're thinking just the states.
Right. That's amazing to remember all that after all those years.
That's pretty good. All right, LouMalnati's.com. We'll set her up with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. We have a return guest. That doesn't usually happen.
Very rarely happens. Jay Farrow is here. Honestly, Jay, not because you're sitting here, but one of the best impressionists working anywhere today.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
you
that.
You are.
Man. I appreciate that, baby.
You know what's great about your impressions is it's impressions of people that we have not seen done before. A lot of times with impressionists, they do impressions that you've seen a bunch of times, not with you.
Yeah, they'll do the walking over and over again. You know, with the Bill Cosby that like to do the Cosby. You know. I love mixing it up and finding new ones like Jason Statham or a John Mulaney or something like
that. Can you do either or both of those for us?
Yeah, do both,
please.
John
Mulaney.
And they're both Caucasian.
Yes.
And actually, a fact, the more you know, one of them NBC facts, I do white people.
Okay, fine.
So which one we want to do?
Start out with Jason Statham.
Okay, I'm Jason Statham. Jason Statham talks like this. Listen, mate, if you don't listen to what I do, I'll break all your bones in your body. Me and The Rock got a movie coming out, don't we, Rock?
That's right, it's called Hobbs.
Thank you, your voice is too turned up for right now. What time is it? It's 11 o'clock, mate. No one wants to hear that right now. It's early in the morning, right, yeah.
And then John Mulaney just talks like this. Oh, my voice is kind of messed up, I'm
That's
sorry.
All right.
Hold on.
All right. John Mulaney,
I'm John Mulaney, and I'm loving it.
There it goes.
I'm John Mulaney. What's up, dude? They're all bitches.
Why does he talk like he's an old man from the 40s from New York when he's from Chicago and only 36?
Because he is. He is an old man from New York. And let's clear it out. Let's air it out. Let's talk about the fact that Morgan Freeman
yes.
is 497 years old. Okay, all right. He's 78 BC. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. 78 BC. He's a young man.
You probably crossed paths with John a bit at SNL, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, that's how I developed the impression.
That's so funny.
I'm so sorry. My voice is on the I'm drinking. But folks, if you don't know, you can't see what's happening right now. When I'm drinking lemon, I just did this wild, crazy impression real thing where I had to do like 25 different voices, and now my it's opting out a little bit, So everybody's going to sound like they have a cold.
Well, that's fine. That's
people
fine.
Get colds?
Yeah, that's right. And I know it's Chicago, right? Of course people get colds out here.
Everybody here has a cold. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, I know. It's Chicago. Y'all got colds out here, liars. Everybody's out here.
The impression.
Yes, we have liars. How about that? Can I just jump in with that?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
All right, yeah. So Jussie Smollett,
if that's his real name.
You know, people were behind him. I hate to.
I was too. I had to archive my post. Mm.
So you were there supporting him on social media because it was a terrible thing that allegedly happened.
Yeah, at first, because when you hear that somebody who is, of course, in the LGBT community mm-hmm. and a black man mm-hmm. gets violently attacked. Maliciously just for being gay or being black. You're like, hey, I want to stand behind that.
Yeah.
But once you start hearing the story, and you're like, wait a minute. Two black dudes put a noose around your neck?
Right.
Like, nooses are kryptonite to black people. We'll start breaking out, okay? We start sneezing, the eyes start watering, you know what I mean? Those really tears because we're really thinking about some stuff. And we get chills, we get little bumps on our flesh, we start breaking out. And you said that they said it's MAGA country? What black person, I've never experienced a black person claims Trump openly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they did it, if they do it, they're going to do it on the low. You're not going to be like, hey, it's MAGA country. N-word, that just sound fabricated. You know what I mean? I just can't believe, I couldn't believe that. Like, okay, if you want to see who supports Trump as black people, listen up. Only thing you got to do next Thanksgiving is start talking trash about Trump and see who's in the corner sipping a Heineken not saying nothing. Because that person voted for Trump and put him in office. That's your answer right there.
If you're him today, what do you do next? Because he still maintains that his story is true. He's still going with that.
If I'm him, what do I do? I put on a chastity belt. That's what I do. Because he got to go to jail.
Yeah.
He got to go to prison. And you don't want him to crack that code. I'm just saying. The man is playing. He plays a character. He is actually. And now he going to jail. What? Hey.
And he ain't playing a character anymore. They've knocked him off. Empire said that he's not going to be on the last two episodes.
He
had it all going. I mean, he was going to do his music video on there. He wanted what he's never going to get.
Yeah, but you can't lie.
I know.
You know what I mean? There have been people who have been through terrible, terrible situations like that. Also, you know, and you want to get behind. You could talk about anybody, like the climate that we are in right now. You're talking about everybody from Trayvon Martin to God dang it. There's just so many people that discriminatory things have happened to. So you can't try to take charge. You can't take charge in that way and lie.
Right.
It's got to be true, because if not, everybody's going to turn on you.
Yeah.
You know, and now that's how we feel. Like, yo, dog, you lied to us. Right. You're like the Negro who cried wolf. Right. You're crying wolf.
Yeah.
And now you're singing wolf because you're a singer too, but you're crying wolf. You a wolf crier. You feel me?
Yes.
Yes, totally.
Yo, don't lie. Listen, there's so much lying out there right now. These man weaves out there. You stop lying, okay? You seen these man weaves? Ladies, let me tell you something. If you go out with a man before you hop into bed with this man, make sure he take a shower with you to see if all that stuff wash off. Because if it wash off, he's a liar. And you know. But, you know, some of y'all like it. You know, some of you, you know, ladies, y'all be putting on the weaves too. Y'all do that. So maybe y'all could use the same adhesive. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, you glue. You use the same glue. And it'd be arguments like this here. Oh, so you didn't put adhesive on the list? You didn't put adhesive? You use all the glue up, but you ain't put it on the list? For real? You ain't the only one with a weave in this house, Tayron. You ain't the only one with a weave in this house, Tayron. You better put it on the list, Tayron, okay? He's sitting there like, all right, I got you. You know what I'm saying?
When will you get... You're not married. No kids. When will that change for you? Are you hoping that...
A couple of years. Yeah? You know what I mean? Yeah, a couple of years.
You have a game plan?
Yeah, I got a game plan. I'm talking to somebody cool.
Yeah. Somebody in show business or not in
show
business?
She's actually in show business, yeah.
Is it a name we'd recognize?
Probably, but I'm not going
to
say.
You don't want to say?
You're a smart man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I keep it. But I'm telling you, we're going to make a blendian. A blendian. Black and Indian. Blendian. Yep. That's what we're going to do. And that's all I'm going to say. You know you know the race, but I'm not going to say who it is. You know? I'm looking at Nick Jonas. I'm like, yeah, I want that.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Nice. Shout out to Nick Jonas. Sorry.
So all you'll tell us is that she is...
She's in the industry. So, it's you have to, you definitely have to schedule out time, you know. And you just... That's what you do. You put it in your schedule. You put it in your agenda.
Right. But she will understand it if she's in the business, too.
She definitely understands
it.
How did
you meet her? You don't have to say who it is. We just know she...
How'd I meet her? I met her at her show about four, almost 5 years ago, and when we started a friendship.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it relationships developed. Yeah, you
that's
know,
the best way to start as friends.
Yeah. Cool. Yep.
That's going great. In it with no BS.
That's no BS. So
does she Jay, in a time of passion, does she say, can you do a certain voice for me? Has that ever happened?
Nah, she likes my voice.
Oh, that's very good.
Now, I have been asked to do stuff before.
Yeah? I've been, during?
During.
Yeah.
Bill, jeez.
This is facts. Look, my ex, I'm going to just tell you the situation. My ex, I was in the bed. We were doing grown-up stuff, and I didn't want to finish because she was going ham. And I told her she needed to slow down. I was like, you need to slow this down.
Yes.
And since she didn't hear me, I did the Jay-Z laugh, and she just got off and started laughing hysterically for 10. So it bought me a 10 extra minutes.
Wow. Well, that's great. Jay Farrow is here, everybody.
She was like, oh my God, you're so crazy. I was like, yeah, I'm crazy. I'm smart. I'm trying to last.
Jay Farrow is going to be appearing at Zanies all this weekend. Zanies.com has all your ticket information. Go see Jay Farrow. More after this. It's Bill, Wendy, and Jay on WGN. The great Jay Farrow is here. He's performing at Zanies all this weekend. Zanies.com has your ticket information. Jay, translate, since you did a little bit of Jay-Z for us, translate yeah, a Jay-Z sure. word for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means yeah.
It just means yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Like
I'm
you're
gonna
green.
Start saying it.
Yeah. You want to go to the store? Yeah. Yo, you want a hot dog? Yeah. Yo, you want a massage? Yeah. It feels good. It's good for it. It clears out your palate.
That's excellent.
Your sister's usually here with you, but she's had a baby.
She got
a baby now,
man.
And Uncle Jay.
Uncle Jay
What's
Farrell.
That like? Is that amazing?
Man, I have sentimental moments where I stare at this baby and I just look at him and I say, man, you're a beautiful baby. And then I get really, really serious. And I'm like, but I can't believe somebody smashed my sister. Somebody.
Oh, you're sentimental.
Somebody smashed my sister, and I was not there to stop it. As the little brother, I have failed my sister's fallopians. I have failed. I was supposed to be there to stop that, man. And then, you know, I ain't going to put nobody business out there, man. But you know what? You always want... No matter whether I'm hooking up with somebody or she's hooking up with somebody, we got each other's backs. You just want your sibling to have somebody that really cares about them and really has them. And their parents are the same way. And like we have a very close knit family, overprotective. I'm from the burbs. I don't drink Kool-Aid. I drink Minute Maid, bitch. That's what I drink. Okay. Silverfish and ants, son. You know what I mean? So it's funny, I'm trying, man. But you know, you really like with the close knit of our family, close knit is we just want each other to have good situations, man. So you know,
that's excellent.
Yeah, and you know, she that baby is a smart little baby. He's 2 years old and he's already doing impressions. I mean, it's basically a Sesame Street. But come on,
that's all right.
You know, he does a hell of a Elmo. I'll tell you that right now. His voice is like really small, so you know it's spot on. Just like me doing Will Smith is not really me doing Will Smith. It's just me talking. Because people say I sound like him. You know, maybe not now because my joint is messed up. But you know, I'm a genie. That's not hard. That's not, I'm a genie, here to grant your wishes.
Why do you think he does that noise? Because he does. He does that.
He's clearing his throat.
Is that what he's doing?
He's just clearing his throat. He's got a lot of phlegm. He's got to clear his throat, man. Yeah. I don't know if he smokes. He should. If I was Will Smith, I'd be smoking every day.
Smoking all the time.
I'm like, yo, I got these kids, this big house. I want some weed. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Is it legal here?
It's not legal here
not yet.
But I'm sure.
Medical is.
Any minute.
Medical's medical, right?
Yeah.
I got medical problems.
What's your problem?
In your nails.
Say arthritis.
Arthritis.
Yeah.
Arthritis. That's my
problem.
That's
the problem.
Arthritis. That's what I have. I got a little bit of gout, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, then you need some medical.
I do.
You have to have
I know, right?
Yeah.
I do.
Some glaucoma, you were saying earlier.
A little glaucoma. Like, yeah. Why not? You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I feel like you all should give me some. I feel like if you have some, you should provide
it. Should be sent to you.
It should be sent to my hotel.
Do you help your nephew? Like, he's two. You started doing impressions, I think, at six, you said, right?
He starts 4 years before me. I'm
so
scared of him.
Do you help him through that process, or you just say, let him go? Let's see what he's got.
I'd be like, okay, punk. It's
really?
More like that. All right, punk, what you going to do? And he'll do it. And I'll be like, yep, when you get old enough and get in the comedy game, I'm leaving. I'm not staying in because of Parker Prince. Ah. His name is Parker Prince. That baby's a butthole. Parker Prince. Yeah, that's right. I said it. He is a little butthole, man. He's a little butt. He laughs like this. I'm like, wow, where did you get that laugh? He's at a country club laugh. Every time he laughs, your credit score goes up. I'm just saying,
funny.
I'm just, hey, yo, speaking of credit reports and stuff, you know what they need to start doing?
Because
I'm
that?
Tired of it. It's just so many Me Too cases, brother. It's so many. Now, they have a list of 76 people who they're taking down.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know how many they've taken down so far, but they're not done.
Yeah.
But I feel like they just like a credit report. They need to have a Me Too report. Just run your Me Too report. See what.
How
you
would
are.
This work?
I'm 800. I'm good.
Oh, you're all right. Yeah, 800.
That's
fine.
A high score.
Yeah, like 826. I'm straight. You know what I mean?
You want a high score or a low score?
High.
You probably want a high score.
High score is better.
High score is right. better. That means you're
safe.
You're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. If you mess with somebody with like a 650 or something, look
around.
Yeah. You need to get it. You need some self control. Run a Me Too report.
Yeah.
I'm sure Diddy's is extraneous. Sorry. Why did I do that? Why did I just mention P. Diddy?
No, you're fine.
Why did I do that?
You're fine.
I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that his Me Too report is whatever.
No, it's fine. It's fine. When you were doing SNL, did they ever come up with a character for you that you just said, I cannot do this voice. I've tried. I cannot get it.
No.
It's never happened.
No.
That's amazing.
It was never that. Hey, you do this impression. Every time they would throw impressions on me, I'd be like, yeah, I'd do it.
There was
so many characters. So many characters I would do at the table. And we just didn't do them on the show.
Like who? Who came up that you just never got to air?
It was this psychic character that wasn't a psychic. He was like he was like just this guy that everybody liked to call up and mess with because he looked weird.
Oh.
So he was like, hey, how y'all doing? I'm here for the help. I'm here for the help everybody in this situation. And you would have people call him up, be like, you suck. He'd be like, well, you suck as well. And it was just like all of that. It was this YouTube guy that it was me. It was Michael Che and Tim Robinson, right?
Yeah.
We were all sitting there one day and they were watching this video. I was like, what is this? And we're like, yo, we're going to turn this into a character for you.
Yeah.
I was like, great. Did it at the table. Killed and it just never got on.
Oh.
That one, I had DeJuan, that character that I did on Returns and Exchanges, not Returns and Exchanges, the rental car sketch.
Yeah.
With Drake. I had that character for 4 years. We just never put it on until the end.
What was the guy's name who was always at school functions who would say attention to teachers and students?
Principal Fry.
Principal Fry.
I'll take the teachers and students. There's a hornet baboon outside right now. I hope that you got your behinds covered up because he is taking no prisoners. It's just like, it was just random stuff. It was basically my high school principal with an Asian twang. Like, I put more of an
really?
Asian. Really? Yeah, and I turned him into
a character.
That's
a real guy.
It's kind of. Yeah,
based on a real guy.
I added some stuff to him.
You know. So good to see you.
No, always good to see you.
I know you've been involved in so many TV shows, but
yes.
A million little things.
Yeah, man.
You're on that now. That's a million little things. That's huge. Now.
And I could be returning next season.
I hope so.
You all the heads up.
Excellent. I hope so.
Heads up for your cable provider. Make sure you don't discontinue ABC.
No, ever, ever, ever.
You don't have to watch NBC no more.
No, you're done with them.
I'm playing. I'm not going to diss NBC. I love NBC, but make sure you got ABC.
That's important.
Make sure you check out. I'm gonna come back on Champagne Ill as well.
All right.
I got another show called Special Skills. I got 4 movies coming out this year. I'm starting 3 of them.
Good.
Man, I'm shooting my special this year, man. There's a lot of stuff happening.
We're both thrilled for
good
you.
For
yeah,
you.
Man.
Keep it up.
They're like, good for you, man.
No, that's
like beautiful. I just got out of rehab. That's good for you, Jay.
Good for you.
Glad
keep up
to
the good
see
work.
Everything's working out.
Go see Jay Farrow at Zanies all this weekend. Zanies.com has all your ticket information in the schedule.
Let me try again. I'm John Mulaney, and I'm loving it.
That's it. Nailed it. There it is. Lemon up, buddy.
Yeah, man.
More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks a lot. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. On Fridays, we check in with Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Are you a TV fan? Then listen up, because Alex knows stuff that you don't. Hi, Alex. How are you?
All right. I don't know if I know tons of stuff.
You know, a couple things that other people don't know.
All right.
I want to start out with this. As you know, both Wendy and I are huge fans of The Walking Dead. I read an article that says that the actress who plays Michonne is leaving the show. Do you know anything about that? Is she leaving?
She reportedly is leaving, but it's going to be a while. She's still going to be on this season. She seems to probably be on at least part of the next season as well, so you still got a little time with her. But, you know, she has a big movie career now. She's doing really well in other places, and she probably will end up on these Andrew Lincoln, Rick Grimes movies that are happening.
Yeah.
So the fan theory right now is that Michonne heads off to look for Rick, and then ends up in this trilogy of movies that reportedly will be happening at some point on AMC. So she's not going to leave the universe necessarily, but it will downsize the amount of time that she has to spend on the show so that she can pursue her movie career and the big things that are happening in her life.
I don't like this new way of revealing that. I mean, now with social media, we know in advance. I don't want to know. I mean, I almost feel like some catastrophic thing should happen, and then they announce, oh, I'm going to a new series.
Yeah.
I don't like knowing that.
It's particularly tough with an enormous show like Walking Dead because they can't get away with it. You know, with a smaller show, the actors aren't under the microscope as much, but everybody is watching where Norman Reedus is going all the time. If Andrew Lincoln wasn't on set of The Walking Dead, we'd know immediately. So for better or for worse, they got to get out in front of that stuff. And I agree with you. It's a bummer from the story perspective.
But if you're the producers of a show like that, and I know their ratings have been down the last couple of years, but you've got to be a little bit nervous. You've lost 4 major cast members in the last year. That's a lot. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it while, without getting into spoilers, watching this Sunday's episode, which, again, very good, and there's some great sequences in it. But back when I was on set during the 100th episode, I threw by Gayla and her, the producer, and I said, you know, I could see a world where The Walking Dead basically becomes Grey's Anatomy except with zombies, right?
Yeah.
That you go 14 years, you rotate through the cast, and I think, I'm not taking any credit for this at all, but I think that's kind of the route that they're going. And in a weird way, I appreciate that it doesn't feel like it's hooked on one person. It's more the concept. It's more the world evolving. Mm. And I personally actually really enjoyed this season so far. I think it's one of the best ones they've done in a really long time.
I agree. And I don't even miss Rick. I'm not missing Lauren Conrad. I'm not missing these people, really.
All right.
There's enough going on. Yeah. And Dan Fogler makes it for me, quite honestly. I love him. He kills me.
Yeah, it's a little tough as a longtime fan of the series. I haven't quite hooked into all of the new characters yet. Somebody like a Dan Fogler, who you know from Screen, you know from Fantastic Beasts and other movies, it's a little easier to hook into him. But they're doing a good job of fleshing out the cast, and the situations are fun, and it's scary again, which is nice. So that's great.
All right, here's another topic that you didn't have on your list of things to discuss, but it could potentially be big news. Milo Ventimiglia saying that This Is Us will end after season 6.
What?
Yeah, do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard as well, and I actually think that's a reasonable thing for the show to do. You know, they're telling the story to get back to what we were talking about with Walking Dead. They have huge stars on that show, and they've only gotten bigger over the course of This Is Us. I actually think it's a really bold move to say, we're telling the stories we need to tell. The show is clearly in a creative high right now, you know, even more so than season one. So go out on top. But that said, there's still a couple of seasons to go, I believe. Another two seasons or so before they start to wrap things up.
Now, I know this will sound crazy, but I like knowing in advance with something like this how the story, mm-hmm. and it's probably better for them as they're creating story arcs to know how much time is left, don't you think?
Yeah, I always think about what they talked about on Lost, which This Is Us is not necessarily Lost, but in a funny way, given the flashback,
right.
given the mysteries that they weave into the show, it is very similar. And they always talked about how they hit this rut about three, four seasons in. Everybody talks about the Jack's Tattoo episode of
yes.
Lost,
yes.
where Damon Lindelof and Carl Hughes realized they didn't know where they were going. And the network giving them an ending, saying you are going to end at, I think, season six, which is about the same as what This Is Us is doing, let them aim towards that end point. So as you were saying, as a showrunner, it's actually a really refreshing thing, even if sometimes it's a bummer for the fans.
The Academy Awards are Sunday night. This always was one of the biggest nights of the year for people who watch TV. Is it still going to be?
It's going to be a mess, you guys, and I'm very excited. As anybody who's been following us closely knows, there's no host for the show because of controversies that happen in the background, but also now there's all these rumors about maybe there's a secret host. Whoopi Goldberg has been suspected as maybe the secret host who's going to surprise show up at the show. But at the same time, if they're doing that, how are they planning the jokes? How are they planning the bits? All of the movies, normally in the lead-up to an Oscars, you could say, okay, here's the front runner, here's what's going to win everything. It's all over the place right now. Almost every one of the Best Picture winners either has a knock against it in terms of not being nominated in the regular categories, or it's won major awards, or there's controversies around it, like Green Book, and we'll see what happens. I know there's a lot to throw out there, but I don't know how the viewership is necessarily going to be, but as somebody who watches the Oscars every year, I'm kind of fascinated to see if they pull it off in any way,
right.
or if it is, in fact, the world's biggest train wreck.
How are the ratings? How have they been?
Because, declining.
Because all I know now mm-hmm. is, honestly, with the invent of the internet, it's so easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I don't want that time suck. I can just go see the highlights mm-hmm. like later on that night.
Well, particularly for something like last year's, where there weren't really any big pictures nominated for anything, they went down exponentially, and they have been declining for years. The hope from ratings junkies is that having something like a Black Panther that was an enormous hit, or Roma, which isn't necessarily an enormous hit, but it was on Netflix, so potentially even more people saw it than, say, The Favorite, for example, that might drive more viewership, might drive more interest, but I don't know. Personally, I'm a little iffy on it. I think it's going to be even a little further down just because of exactly what you're saying. You can find out instantly on Twitter, see the best jokes yeah. on Twitter, find out about it on Facebook later. It's just not as necessary to tune in.
But the one thing that made it so you'd want to see it live and tune in would be whoever the host was and the way they handled mm-hmm. any surprise moments. And when you take the host out of that equation, it takes all the fun out of it. It takes the surprise element out of it.
Yeah, and you still, listen, their lineup of presenters is great, of course, because
sure.
everybody wants to come and do that. So you're going to get to see big stars, the red carpet, you'll see amazing looks and all of those things. But I do think you're right. If a host is a surprisingly undervalued part of the show, as annoying as it can be sometimes, a host is somebody who brings it together, provides a through line that you can hook into when you're watching a show like that.
And as for the idea that they might throw in a surprise host, most notably Whoopi Goldberg, she has not been on The View this week, and they've treated mm-hmm. her absence in a strange way. They keep saying she's not feeling well, she'll be back soon, but just the way they're saying it leads you to believe there could be something up. I don't know that they would pull that off, but maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that, and that's something I wish they wouldn't do that, because to the point that you made earlier, I think they could drive more tune in by saying, surprise, we got Whoopi Goldberg,
yeah.
who generally people like and they love as a host,
yeah.
versus great, it'll be a great moment if she comes out and says, surprise, I'm the host on the show. But by that point, most people are going to find out about that hours later after the show is over.
Yeah.
I think that defeats a little bit of the purpose.
So true.
And it's Lauren Cohan. Sorry, it's not Lauren Conrad that I said before.
Oh.
Why did neither of you correct me?
Because we're gentlemen, Wendy. That's
she's
why.
She's also leaving The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Lauren Conrad will not be on The Walking Dead.
She's gone. She's gone. All right.
Thank you, Texter.
More with Alexander Zelbin from Decider.com after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. And our guest, Alexander Zelbin, who is the managing editor of Decider.com. Alex, you have some news about The Haunting that's going to make Wendy very, very happy.
Are you there, Alex? Let me try one more thing.
Oh, wait. I'm
there you are.
There
you are. Your press mute on my phone.
Oh, there you are.
Now?
Yeah, you're
yes.
fine. What is this news that will make Wendy so happy?
Yes, Haunting of Hill House, one of the best shows of last year, is coming back, kind of. So you're going to have to wait until 2020. It is from the same behind-the-scenes people, and it may feature some of the actors, but it's not a continuation of the story. It's actually an adaptation of a new scary story, The Turn of the Screw by Henry James.
Ah, yeah.
So this time the series will be called The Haunting of Bly Manor, and it seems like, at least as far as we know, it's going to have the same sort of sense as the first series. They're going to be treating it as an anthology going forward. And my guess is because Mike Flanagan is the director behind it, again, he has a tendency to use a lot of the same actors and bring them back for other projects. So it'll almost be like, let's say, a classier American Horror Story, where they'll have this troop of actors coming back season after season, is my guess at the current time.
Don't you think it's better, Wendy, this way, that where they're introducing a whole new
yes.
storyline? I think that's way better.
Although I still don't feel it's going to be as good as the last one.
No? Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Yeah, I will say, I was not totally aware of the source material, Turn of the Screw. You know, I knew the name, but I hadn't read the book. But as soon as that was revealed here in the office, Kayla Cobb, one of our writers, is a huge fan of that book, as well as The Haunting. And she told me a little bit and posted a thing about the Bly Manor story, about Turn of the Screw. Is pretty messed up. So there's a lot of psychologically deep, upsetting stuff that they can get into, just like they did on the first season. So I'm excited.
You know, what's funny is I had seen, there was a movie version of Turn of the Screw sometime in the early 60s, mid 60s, and I've seen that, and it's reminiscent of Haunting of Hill House. There's a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does feel like, again, this is just from the information that was shared with me yesterday, but it does feel like it's tonally similar. And
yeah.
certainly what they did with Hill House is they updated things. They made it feel a little more current. They feel fresh and new. And I think they'll do the same thing with Turn of the Screw. And for anybody who didn't check out Hill House, it is legitimately one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my life, but so worth watching.
Yeah. Fun.
All right, our news guy Steve Bertrand is in here. Do you have a question for Alex Zelbin?
I always miss this segment because I'm out of the office studio. But
oh.
So I just started watching, Alex, The Informer on Amazon. And what do you think of that show?
You know, I haven't actually watched it yet.
Oh.
It's one of those things that's on my list to check out. But I hear good things.
What's it about?
Great.
It's about a British guy of Pakistani origin, and the police pick on him out of the blue, sort of. He gets arrested on a minor drug charge, and they choose him to become an informant to try to find Muslim extremists in London.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah,
where is that, Steve?
It's on Amazon, and I've watched just the first three episodes. Love it a lot.
Oh. But
I know that, Alex, you were talking about Russian Doll. Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a whirl, and I don't know how I feel. I watched the first episode, and it's like, it's intrigued me. I'm going to go to episode two, but I don't know that I... Does it get better?
So here's my recommendation about it, and I've certainly... I will couch this in. I absolutely love the show. I think it's well done. It made me laugh a lot. It gets very emotional and interesting. If you're iffy about the show, at the very least, check out through episode four.
Right.
And I always hesitate to say that because I'm not saying it gets good by episode four. If you don't like the tone of it, you'll probably continue to not like it. But the plot takes a turn on episode four that brings a lot of what's going on into focus.
Okay.
Where the first three episodes are exploring the Groundhog Day of it all, the themes and ideas become a little clearer. There's a what the heck moment that happens towards the end there that I think should hook you,
okay,
or possibly not.
Interesting. Alex, your thoughts on this? We've talked about the show True Detective on HBO. I think it's fantastic. Very reminiscent of season one, this season, season three is. And then in the last episode, they referenced the crime that took place in season one. They show a newspaper headline with the two actors, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, and their characters from season one. I thought that was a very interesting touch.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too, and I think that's a smart thing to do, particularly because they're different cases, but there's a lot of parallels in terms of the plot. Certainly, at the beginning of season three, it felt like they were almost doing a redo of season one in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So to call that out, I think, was a really, really smart thing to do, and it'll be interesting to see, because the show has done well, I think there will be a season four at some point, whether they'll start to tie those things in a little closer or if they're just Easter eggs.
Excellent. And we can't let you go without you telling us what you know about Leaving Neverland.
I have to see that.
This is coming up very soon, right? This weekend, aren't they? Isn't that when they're showing it?
Yeah, it's premiering, it's actually two weekends from now. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
It's on HBO, I believe, on Sunday, March 3rd, the first part premieres, and then the second part is the next night on HBO, Monday, March 4th. But our reviewer, Leah Palmieri, saw it. She was very hesitant. For those who don't know about it, it delves very deeply into Michael Jackson and his background and controversies surrounding him and legal cases. She said it's an extremely hard watch. It's 4 hours long, so it's definitely a big commitment of time. But by the end of it, she said it's absolutely worth watching 100%. So take that as you will. Certainly, it's difficult subject matter to check.
Yeah.
And certainly, if you like Michael Jackson, it's going to redefine a lot about what you think about him.
I think I'm like the only one who doesn't believe he did these terrible things. So I will watch it. I know his family is suing HBO. Mm-hmm. I saw that in the news, saying this is
none of this $100 million. Yeah. So they certainly disagree with it. But at the very least, I think it's one of those things that you do have to watch and then make up your own mind.
Sure.
And I wonder if things could change. Like, look at the whole R. Kelly thing and look at what's changed since that hit the airwaves. Isn't that terrible? We have to solve things via television now.
Yeah. But in this case, of course, Michael's...
We've talked about this before, but it gives a big, wide platform to these things that have been bubbling under the surface. So if something does need to come to light, however it does come to light, I think is ultimately okay.
True. So true. Alex, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll check in with you in a week.
You too. Thanks so much, guys.
It's Alexander Zeldman. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. That's the website to visit. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, David. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I'm telling you, I love, love, love books like this. This is the all-time book of fascinating facts. And we have Charles Reichblum on the line with us. He's also known as Dr. Knowledge. So from this point forward, we will just call you Dr. Knowledge. Is that okay?
That's fine, Wendy. Nice being with you.
Nice being with you as well. You sound like a character, actually. you kind of do. Not what I expected.
Why,
Dr. Knowledge.
Why the book, Charles? What were you thinking when you put the book together exactly?
How are you, Bill? Well, I've been collecting these things really since I was in high school, which was many, 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 many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was an intern at a radio station in my hometown of Pittsburgh when I was a teenager. And in those days, of course, we had no computers. The news came over teletypes. And there were rolls of paper in the teletype, and the news was typed out there. And my job as an intern was to tear off the sheets of news as they came in, and there were nails up on the wall. You hung news here, sports here, business news here, feature stories here, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, they had me working on July 4th, since I was the youngest one there. I was only about 15 years old. And on July 4th, a feature story came over the teletype that three of the first five U.S. presidents all died on July 4th. And I thought, boy, that's an interesting fact. I never knew that. I don't think I ever learned that in school. And I looked it up later. It certainly is true. The second president, John Adams, died on July 4th, 1826 in Massachusetts. The third president, Thomas Jefferson, died on the very same July 4th, 1826, Jefferson was down in Virginia, obviously unrelated causes of their deaths. And that happened to also be the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. This was July 4th, 1826. Very odd that they both died on that day.
Yeah.
And then the fifth president, James Monroe, died on July 4th, 1831. You know, what are the odds that three of the first five presidents would all die on the same date?
Hard to imagine.
Related causes. And of all the dates in the year,
yeah,
it was July 4th. So anyhow, I wrote that down and put it in my pocket and started my collection of looking for things like that. When I got out of school, I started a company. We had a company for many years called Interesting Facts that we syndicated to newspapers in the U.S. and Canada. And then people over the years said, why don't you put that stuff in books? And my newest book that you mentioned, The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts, is really a collection of the what I consider the best of all the stuff I've collected over the years. Plus, I spent the last couple of years looking for new things, too.
I love this. And please take this as a compliment. This would be great in a bathroom. Can I just tell you that? Total compliment.
That's all right. That's good. That's
all right.
Good.
I was quizzing Bill on a lot of these questions prior to talking to you, and I got to admit, Bill, you were pretty good about things.
I was doing okay.
But I want to ask you this one. How did the Tonys and the Emmys get those names? Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Tonys were named after a woman named Antoinette Perry, who was a producer on Broadway, and she was called Tony. It was a woman, but she was called Tony from her first name, Antoinette. That was her nickname. And she died right after World War II, when the awards were first given, and they wanted to honor her. She had been president of the theatrical group there and the producer. She was very active in Broadway productions. So they wanted to honor her, and since everybody knew her as Tony,
the Tony Awards.
Called the awards Tony.
What about the Emmys?
Incidentally,
go ahead.
Let me just get the Grammys for a minute, because there was also almost a person that was named after. The Grammys, of course, the music awards, are named after the gramophone. That's where that name comes from.
All right, he just mouthed that when you said it. Bill just went
gramophone.
But you don't know the Emmys, do you?
Just a second.
I do not.
We'll get to that in a minute. Let me just tell you one more story about the Grammys. Though.
Sure.
The gramophones were a early rendition of the phonographs. It was a type of phonograph in the early days. And those awards were almost called the Eddies after Thomas Edison, who invented the phonograph.
Cool.
And that would have been logical since he invented recorded music. But at the last minute, they decided not to call them the Eddies and went with the derivation of gramophones and called them the Grammys. Now, the Emmys are, of course, the TV awards, and they are named after the tube that made TV possible. It was the Image Orthicon tube, which was called an Emmy by early workers in television in the early days. That they called that very key tube an Emmy, and they just felt when they started the awards that Emmy did not look good or sound good, so they changed it. They just evolved it from Emmy to Emmy. And, you know, we have the Oscars coming up Sunday, and people wonder why in the world is the Academy Awards statue called an Oscar.
Do you know this, Bill? Hang on,
this is the story
Dr.
I always
Knowledge.
Heard, Charles. Tell me if this is true. Somebody saw one of the first Academy Awards and said, oh, that looks like my Uncle Oscar. Is that the truth?
Yeah, basically true. The executive director of the Academy was a woman named Margaret Herrick. And in the early 1930s, up to that time, the statue was simply called the Academy Awards statue or statuette. But the executive director there, Margaret Herrick, looked at the statue one day and said, you know, that looks like my Uncle Oscar, who actually was a man named Oscar Pierce, who was a farmer and a real estate salesman in Texas. He had nothing to do with the movies, but it was her uncle. And she jokingly, she had one of the statuettes on her desk, and she, you know, always said, hi, Oscar. She, you know, thought it looked like her uncle. Meantime, the Hollywood press, saw that, overheard that, and they liked the idea of the statue having a name. They were tired of writing every time the Academy Award statue or the Academy Award. They loved it to have a name, so they picked up on her calling it an Oscar, and it's been an Oscar ever since. And the amazing thing about that, Wendy and Bill, is that Oscar Pierce, for whom the most famous movie award is named, had absolutely nothing to do with the movies. As I say, he was a farmer and a real estate salesman, and there are some stories that he really never went to the movies. He was not a movie fan, the most famous movie award
is named after him,
yeah.
Charles, here's a two-part question. Number one, are you married? And number two, when you tell your wife these facts, how does she react to them?
I've been married for many years to the same woman, and actually we did a radio show together on KDKA in Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
Ten or more years. We just left that a few years ago. And she was on the show with me, and somebody gave her the name of Misinformation, which is kind of funny. And we used to always have to say that's two words, two S's.
Yeah.
We got a call one night from the head of the Allegheny County in Pittsburgh, and he said, you know, there's too much misinformation going around. And we had to say that wasn't my wife. That was that was another kind of misinformation.
I have to tell you, Charles, there's a weird coincidence. I had heard that show before several times and loved it and didn't know it was you until just now. You guys did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, that's a good station, as is yours. I'm an old student of radio, and certainly WGN is one of the famous stations.
Yeah, we got lucky. So, yeah.
All right. My burning question is, there is no ham in hamburgers. Why do we call them hamburgers?
Yeah, how about that? And then next time you have a hamburger, say to the person you're having the hamburger with, hey, there ain't no ham in here. The name came from, we had a big influx of German immigrants in the late 1800s. And people from Hamburg, Germany, the town of Hamburg, Germany, brought with them their custom of ground meat, which was not common in those days. And people here started calling ground meat hamburgers after the town of Hamburg, Germany. That's where it got its name. And as I say, the next time you have a hamburger, say,
yeah,
there is no hamburgers are named after their city of origin, very much like
Frankfurter. Yeah,
you two should go have lunch. Can I just tell you this?
I'm up for that.
And you know, excuse me, Charles Reich Bloom, aka Dr. Knowledge. Bill was like, "Are you married? And what does your wife think?" His wife would deal with the same stuff.
Oh, all the time.
You
she
two
knows.
Really should go talk to each other over lunch, over a hamburger.
Yeah, very good.
All right, I'm
very
in.
Good.
All right, what about hot dogs? Why are hot dogs called hot dogs?
Well, that's a great story too, and it also happens to be in our book. That name did not exist until the early 1900s, and it, of all places, originated at a baseball game in New York. It was early in the season. It was a cool day, and the concessionaire, a guy named Harry Stevens, who was a very famous baseball concessionaire. He was a concessionaire at a lot of ballparks around the country. Anyhow, he was realizing that the only kind of food they had at ballparks in those days, this is the early 1900s, was they didn't have any hot food or any warm food. All they had were peanuts and other cold food. And he realized that he wasn't going to sell much that day because it was a very cool day. And he said, if I can get something warm to sell, that should do very well. So he took a walk around the neighborhood, went to a butcher shop, and asked the butcher, do you have anything hot or warm I could sell? And the butcher had some sausages grilling on the grill. He said, here, why don't you take these sausages? You can sell those. They're nice and hot. And Harry Stevens said, well, I'll take them, but how are the people going to hold them? And the butcher said, well, next door is a bakery. Why don't you get some buns there? So he went to the bakery, got some buns, took the buns and the sausages back to the ballpark, gave them to the vendors, and they're walking around holding up the sausage in the bun. Meantime, there was a very famous cartoonist at the game that day, and in those days, many newspapers had cartoons on their front pages. That was a big thing. A cartoonist there, his name was Tad Dorgan, saw the vendors walking around with the bun, with the sausage in a bun, and the sausage reminded him of a dachshund. So he drew a dachshund in a bun with the vendor and was going to title the cartoon Hot Dachshund. But he was on a deadline, and at the last minute he realized, I'm not sure how you spell dachshund. So he very quickly and easily changed dachshund to dog and made it Hot Dog, and the name was born. And that story is absolutely true because the original cartoon which named the hot dog, is in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. You can see his original cartoon, which gave us the name hot dogs.
That's so cool.
We are talking to Charles Reichblum. He is Dr. Knowledge. His new book is The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts, available wherever better books are sold. We'll continue this conversation in just a little bit. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking to the author of the book, The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts. Charles Reichblum is his given name, but he goes by Dr. Knowledge. You sound like a bad guy from Superman, Dr. Knowledge. I love that.
By the way, Bill and Wendy, if I could just get in.
Sure.
I have a website called knowledgeinanutshell.com, and folks can see the book there, and if they want to get it there, they can. That's the easy way to buy it. And there's also a discount if you take more than one, if you want to give some as gifts. But anyhow, the website is knowledgeinanutshell.com. The name of the book is The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts.
Beautiful.
All right. These are all over the board, so I just don't know where to go. There's a lot of baseball things. Is there a spider hidden on a $1 bill? Obviously,
yeah,
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Take a look in the upper right-hand corner. You really got to have a magnifying glass, and some people say a good imagination, but it looks like there is a spider there. The mint won't say yes or no. The theory is that the author or the originator, the original artist, put it there. One fact about the $1 bill, by the way, that we have, there are 16 mentions of the number one on a $1 bill. It's amazing. Both the figure, count both the figure and the word spelled out, either O-N-E or the figure one. There's 16 of them. If you you can win a bet on that someday, there are that many on a $1 bill. You can go ahead and
sometimes more, Charles, if the serial number has ones in it, you get even more.
Yeah, that,
again,
yeah,
go
this
to
is
lunch.
Not counting the serial number. Yeah, it's a good point. That's a good point. One other little money fact on our coins, everybody calls a penny a penny, right? We don't call it a 1 cent piece. And everybody calls a nickel, and we don't say it's a 5 cent piece. And yet on the coin, it doesn't say penny or nickel. It says 1 cent or 5 cents.
Ah.
Meantime, however, everybody calls a 10 cent piece a dime, and that word is on the dime, oddly enough. It does say one dime. So they use dime on the dime, but not nickel and penny on the. So I checked with the mint. I got a hold of somebody there. And the guy says, I don't know why that is. It's always been that way. I said, well, you're going to change it? Why don't you call it one penny, one nickel? And he said, well, no, it's just tradition to keep it the way it is. So I don't think they're going to change it.
Charles, along those same lines, in royalty, you've got a king and a queen, and their son would be a prince. But in a deck of cards, he's not called a prince. He's called a jack. Any idea why that would be?
Gee, no, that's an interesting question.
We'll go over that at lunch, and Wendy's not invited.
I don't.
You can't come to lunch with us.
I wouldn't get a word in edgewise with the two of you.
One thing about kings and queens is interesting. They go by their first names, right?
Yes.
It's Queen Elizabeth, King Charles,
King Vitaman,
Victoria, and so on and so on. And isn't that strange? I mean, that would be like calling our presidents President Donald, President Barack, President George.
We use last names.
Yeah. Why do they just use first names, which is, and they all do, all royalty uses just their first name.
Maybe it's because with kings and queens, they tend to have the same name used over and over and over again. It's family lineage. Do you think that could be part of it?
Yeah, that's part of it. And also in the old days, people did not have last names, and they just went by their first names in the very early days of kings and queens. So that's where that started, and it's just continued all these years. But you'd think these days they would use their last name, but
no,
we don't. It's kind of funny when you think you have to honor, how you can't touch them, you can't, and yet they go by their first names.
Yeah, so true.
The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts is what we're talking about, written by Charles Reichblum, also known as Dr. Knowledge. Where's the best place to get this book? I know your website also, knowledgeinanutshell.com.
Right, knowledgeinanutshell.com is the easiest because you can see the book there and read about it, order it if you like. There's an order form. Or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble's, Walmart's websites. Some stores have it, some don't. If the stores don't have it, they'll certainly order it for you. But as I say, and we also have an 800 number, by the way, 1-800-NUTSHELL.
Hmm.
But really the easiest thing is just to go to knowledgeinanutshell.com.
We have 1 minute, so I want to ask Bill this question to see if he knows the answer, because honestly, I've been going through the questions in this book with him, Charles, and Bill, you're surprising
me. I've done okay, yeah.
All right, what's the story of why popsicles are called popsicles? Do you know this?
I do not know this.
Oh, finally. Will you explain this in a minute or less, Dr.
Yeah,
Knowledge?
I'll try to get the story in quickly. There was a guy named Frank Epperson who invented popsicles, and he called them Epsicles. This is the early 1920s. They did not sell very well. He had a couple kids who sort of laughed. He was trying to sell these things. They weren't selling much. And the kids called them Popsicles.
Oh,
after their father.
Sickles.
Yeah. And he liked that. He changed the name, and history was made. This is like 1923. He changed the name to Popsicles, and they took off from there, and the rest is history.
Place. Yep. Well, I can't wait to meet you at some point and have lunch with you, and Wendy cannot come. It's just me and you. That's how it is, Charles. I'm sorry. Good luck with the book. I'll go on.
Thank you so much. And I know the good thing about the book is I think all ages sort of enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's something for everybody.
Really great.
The all-time book of fascinating facts by Dr. Knowledge himself, Charles Reichblum. Charles, have a great weekend. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, and great being with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. KnowledgeInANutshell.com.
Yes.
You honestly have known everything. I'm shocked you didn't know the popsicle story.
I might have known it. I just wanted to hear his version.
You didn't know it. There's no way. All right. We are going to hop on the stream from noon to one. That's what we do, and we're going to do it again, and it's Friday, so gosh knows what might happen. But coming up on 720, the stories that matter with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.